Picture yourself at a crossroads. One path promises immediate pleasure but leads to long-term suffering. The other demands discipline but offers lasting fulfillment. This was the choice faced by Marcus Aurelius, Rome's philosopher emperor, who transformed himself from an anxious, complaint-prone young man into history's model of wisdom and resilience. His private journal, Meditations, has become a favorite of today's tech CEOs, professional athletes, and military leaders. Why? Because the challenges of the human mind haven't changed in 2,000 years, and neither have the solutions that truly work. When Marcus lay dying of plague in a military camp in 180 AD, he faced his end with remarkable equanimity. Not because he was naturally detached, but because of decades of rigorous Stoic practice. Stoicism began 5 centuries earlier with Zeno of Citium, a wealthy merchant who lost everything in a shipwreck. Devastated, he encountered the teachings of Socrates and created a philosophy emphasizing virtue as life's true goal. This wisdom tradition spread from Athens to Rome, eventually reaching Marcus, who viewed himself as a Stoic first and emperor second. Contrary to popular belief, Stoics weren't unemotional robots. They distinguished between healthy passions, joy, healthy aversion to vice, desire to help others, and unhealthy emotions to be transformed. True Stoicism isn't about suppressing feelings, but using reason to transform destructive emotions into constructive ones, a practice Marcus perfected throughout his life. Born in 1201 AD, Marcus lost his father at age 3 and was raised by his mother, Domitia Lucilla. Emperor Hadrian nicknamed him Verissimus, most truthful, recognizing the boy's honest nature that distinguished him in Rome's intellectual culture. While the second Sophistic movement valued rhetoric over substance, Marcus's natural affinity for truth set him apart. His Stoic inclination likely came from his mother, who lived simply despite her wealth and taught him generosity, later giving his father's inheritance to his sister and donating inheritances to relatives. Marcus began studying philosophy remarkably young. His painting master, Diognetus, introduced him to Greek training in endurance, sleeping on a mat with animal pelts and embracing physical hardship. By 15, he was attending Stoic lectures and absorbing Epictetus's teachings. The most influential figure in Marcus's philosophical development was Junius Rusticus, who both provoked his anger and taught him to control it. Their exceptional relationship saw Marcus breaking court protocol by always kissing Rusticus first. The pivotal moment came when Rusticus gave Marcus notes from Epictetus's lectures and challenged his pretentiousness, encouraging him to dress like a normal citizen. Marcus worried less about plagues or barbarians than his co-emperor Lucius Verus's extravagant lifestyle. While Marcus embraced philosophy, Lucius pursued hedonism, hosting parties costing as much as a legion's annual pay. This contrast mirrors the choice of Hercules, where the young hero meets two goddesses, vice offering an effortless path of luxury, and virtue presenting a difficult road of wisdom, justice, courage, and self-discipline. Hercules chose virtue, facing the 12 labors that earned him divine status. Despite his serious writings, Marcus wasn't somber. His letters reveal a good-humored man who enjoyed painting, boxing, wrestling, hunting, and ball games. The Stoics distinguished between fleeting pleasure from external things and the deeper joy of living virtuously. Self-discipline ultimately becomes more fulfilling than the temporary pleasures it overcomes. The Stoics developed practices resembling modern cognitive behavioral therapy, evaluating habit consequences, recognizing warning signs of desires, gaining distance from impulses, substituting healthier behaviors, planning value-aligned activities, contemplating admirable qualities in others, and practicing gratitude. Despite chronic health problems, Marcus became renowned for exceptional resilience. At nearly 50, he left Rome to command legions on the frigid northern frontier during the Marcomannic Wars, enduring harsh conditions and plague outbreaks for years. His resilience wasn't innate, but developed through Stoic training. Early letters between Marcus and Fronto reveal frequent health complaints, showing none of the Stoic techniques that would later define his approach to pain. By his 40s, Marcus suffered from chronic chest pains, stomach ulcers, and ailments that severely limited his diet. While occasionally taking theric, containing opium, prescribed by Galen, he primarily relied on psychological techniques to manage pain. His most powerful strategy was cognitive distancing, recognizing that it's not events that upset us, but our judgments about events. By suspending value judgments about pain, suffering diminishes. Marcus advised drawing boundaries around the mind, viewing bodily sensations as separate from one's core self. Marcus faced war's horrors with stoic composure, transforming catastrophes into opportunities. Initially dismissed as an old woman of a philosopher, 7 years of warfare earned him his troops' reverence. Through stoic practice, he overcame his natural worry and developed remarkable composure in danger. When Avidius Cassius rebelled in 175 AD, Marcus responded with clemency rather than rage, even offering to relinquish power peacefully if it served the common good, astonishing his battle-hardened troops. Though not naturally placid, Marcus mastered his temper through cognitive strategies. He reminded himself that humans are social beings designed for cooperation. He viewed irritating people holistically rather than focusing solely on annoying traits. He embraced the Socratic principle that no one does evil knowingly, acknowledged universal human imperfection, avoided assumptions about others' intentions, and contemplated life's brevity to make present irritations seem trivial. As Marcus lay dying in 180 AD, he whispered to his guard, "Go to the rising sun, for I am already setting." In his final meditations, he reflected on life's impermanence, comparing it to the flowing Danube sweeping everything away. Having practiced philosophy his entire life, he faced death without fear. In his final moments, Marcus experienced the philosophical view from above, his consciousness seemingly floating upward to observe humanity from a cosmic perspective where human affairs appear as insignificant as ants. From this vantage point, civilizations rose and fell in cycles, his position as emperor becoming minuscule within the cosmic tapestry. This perspective freed his mind from earthly attachments, revealing the universe as a single living being with unified consciousness. Marcus embraced death calmly, understanding dissolution as natural and therefore not evil. Marcus wasn't born a Stoic sage. He deliberately crafted himself into one through daily practice. His transformation from an anxious young man to history's model philosopher king offers a roadmap for our own growth. Unlike today's theoretical academic philosophy, ancient philosophy was primarily a way of life. Stoics typically wore simple gray woolen cloaks and grew beards, an appearance Marcus adopted over court sophistication. When Rusticus died around 170 AD, Marcus likely began writing the Meditations as self-mentorship. His notes contain dialogues with tutors or an imagined inner mentor. We can benefit similarly through morning preparation, daytime mindfulness, and evening reflection. By thinking like a Roman emperor, we too can build our inner citadel against life's hardships and discover the freedom of mastering our minds. The path to inner peace remains unchanged, not controlling the world around you, but disciplining the fortress within.